Every yacht sailed for the South Pacific, the members of the expedition hoped they would find a strange island and a little lost girl and return the little girl to her mother. All this has been done. But now, when the yacht should be sailing gaily home with a happy party on board, it is tied up, helpless, at one of the piers on the island of Euclidea, the magic island of the South Seas. Mrs. Gregory, her daughter Joan, Jerry Hall, and Captain Tex Bradford are in Mrs. Gregory's cabin on the yacht, discussing the failure of their attempt to outwit G-47, the mad scientist.
Why, Tex, if this thing is just as you describe it, we're actually prisoners. Worse than prisoners. For now, we haven't even a chance of rescue from the outside world.
I'm afraid that's about the size of it, Pat.
Oh, Mother, it's almost too much, isn't it? Just a few hours after we have found each other, and we're making such happy plans to go back to your world, then to have it all taken away from us again.
Oh, cheer up, Cleostra. Gee, how I hate that name.
My name is Joan now, Jerry. And no one need ever call me Cleostra again.
That old G-47 keeps right on calling you Cleostra.
I think G-47 will go right on doing a number of things we'll be powerless to prevent.
It looks bad now, Patricia. But there's always a way out of everything if you try hard enough.
I sure can't see any way out of this. Gee, and I thought that message to Johnson would get us rescued right away.
How did the plan fail, Tex? Have they done something to the radio that we can't communicate with Johnson?
No, the radio is all right. Jerry talked to Johnson, and Johnson repeated the message back. That part of it was all right. The G-47 also heard the message. And he knows that I've instructed Johnson not to move in our rescue without orders from me. And unless we can find some other method of communication, those orders will never get to Johnson.
But why, Tex? Why did you send Johnson such orders? Isn't there some way he could rescue us?
That's what I couldn't figure out, Mrs. Gregory.
I'm almost sure that it would be impossible to rescue anyone from this island. It would only mean the lives of all... everybody who tried it.
You are right, Captain Bradford. They have weapons so terrible here that a big battleship just melts away and sinks within a few minutes. And without a chance to fire a shot, its guns and engines all powerless.
Joan, my daughter, you just heard these men talking about what they think they can do, of course. Nothing like that has actually happened.
I have seen it with my own eyes. A fine battleship sinking in 10 minutes. Everyone on board lost. And the only weapon used by the Euclideans was one of their larger ray guns, looking very much like one of your telescopes. Oh, Mother, even now you do not realize the awful power of things on this island.
Golly, whiskers. Gee, that sounds like the real thing, Tex.
It is the real thing, Jerry. That's why I'm so hopeless about it all.
Why, Tex, I've never seen you act like this before. You can't mean you're giving up, that there's no possible way to get off this island.
No, I haven't given up. But there's no hope in any of the ordinary ways of doing these things. We've got to hit on some way of getting information to Johnson. Then he will have a chance to rescue us.
What's that information, Captain?
I'd rather not tell you, Jerry. At least not just now. Might be too unpleasant for you if G-47 found out you knew the only ray of hope there is. It will take time. Days, weeks, maybe months. And until then, I want to keep that to myself.
Then let's hope that guy never finds out how to read what you're thinking about.
I suggest that we try to forget all this for a few minutes and act like human beings. Come and sit by me, Joan. I can hardly realize that after 14 long years, we're really together.
Gee whiz. Look at that, Captain.
At what, Jerry?
At Joan and Mrs. Gregory. They look just alike, don't they?
And they sure do, son. And especially since Joan has a dress of her mother's on.
I said that Joan would be pretty. Almost as pretty as you are, Mrs. Gregory. And she is, too.
You're a sweet boy, Jerry. You've been good company for us on this trip. Aren't you glad we brought him, Tex?
Yeah, as far as he's concerned. But I'm sorry to get anybody into this. Your dad'll be plenty worried about you, Jerry.
Oh, no, he won't. He knows I'm with you.
Well, right now, being with me is the poorest protection I can think of.
Now, Tex, dear, don't start that again. We're all in this together because of Joan and me. And we'll all get out of it together. Don't worry any more about it. Please, dear.
Mother, when you talk to the captain like that, you look at him so soft and different. And your eyes are so large and beautiful. And now your cheek is turning red. Mother, Why does Captain Bradford look so uncomfortable?
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Is the matter with you, Jerry?
Oh, nothing.
Jerry, you mustn't do that.
I'm sorry.
Mother, is Jerry not feeling well? Why should he laugh when he says he is sorry?
Joan, you're a very scientific young lady, and your knowledge is way beyond your years, but... Well, the reason Jerry was laughing is...
Yes, Tex. What is the reason?
Look, Joan, what would you think if I called you dear?
I should think it was very silly. My name is Joan.
Yes, but look...
Give it up, Jerry. Never mind, Joan. We're not making fun of you. It's just one of those things you'll understand when we get back to the world. Back to the world.
Now, there you go again, Tex. If you can't just sit still and talk about something pleasant... Then for heaven's sake, do something, anything, to occupy your mind.
I know a great deal about many of the things on Euclidea. Perhaps I could tell you something that would help you.
That's true, Tex. After all, Joan knows more about this island than any of us. Probably more than we shall ever know, and we haven't asked her for any information of real value.
Well, I got an idea that the more we hear about this place, the more hopeless it's going to look.
That is true. The more you see on this island and learn about it, the more you realize that the Euclideans are the most terrible and dangerous people in the world.
Just the same, they must have overlooked something. And we'll find a method of communicating with our friends in the world outside.
Tex, I just remembered something.
Something that will help us out of this?
At least it may help us to understand it. The old sailor's diary.
I was to tell you about that pitiful old gentleman who thought he had escaped from here.
What do you mean, thought he had escaped? He did escape.
Of course he did, Joan. And he was picked up in the open sea and taken to a hospital somewhere. We heard about him on a shortwave broadcast. That's how we got the position of this island and found you, my dear.
What did you mean by that, Joan? He thought he had escaped.
He was allowed to escape. And then when he was helpless, lost in the sea, he was picked up and brought back here to the island again.
Then those broadcasts we heard... came from right here on this crazy Euclidea.
I thought there was something unnatural about the accent of the man we heard broadcasting. Someone from here, of course.
G-47 himself, I think. But why go to all that trouble with the poor old sailor?
It was all a trap to get you here, Captain Bradford. I have heard your name many times. And mothers, too. Although they never let me know it was my mother they were talking about.
But what did they want to get the captain down here for? Oh, I know. That formula of yours, Tex.
But why torture the poor old sailor? The broadcast would have brought us anyway.
That was something I did not just understand. They did not talk too much in my presence, but it had something to do with the diary the old man kept. The scientists wanted it, and they never found it.
That's it. G-47 figured that if he allowed the old man to think he was escaping... the poor fellow would trot out the diary and try and take it with him.
What was in this diary that made it so valuable?
I am not sure, but the old sailor was allowed a great deal of freedom on the island, and I think he had found out the exact formulas and methods which made many of the Euclideans' greatest discoveries possible. And he probably had a complete map of everything contained on the island. G-47 must have known and feared this.
But the diary was never found?
Never. I think it is still on the island, and although no one can think of any possible place to hide it...
Well, I should think those rays of theirs would look through everything and show the book up mighty quick.
Sure. They can even look through cement and steel with those things.
But not through the opaque cloth. The cloth of my dress, which you used tonight.
Say, Joan, that dress of yours. When G-47 came into the radio cabin and saw us with the dress... he didn't even look surprised. Said he knew we had it.
Of course he did.
You must have gone too near the door, Joan, and he saw you with my dress on.
I think not, but how else would he know?
He would know because I did not turn my dress in with the others to be destroyed.
Turn it in to be destroyed?
Destroy a lovely piece of material like that?
Every day?
Every evening. You have heard how we make a new dress every day in 300 seconds. You will see all that when G-47 allows you to go through the laboratory.
Well, why 300 seconds? Say 5 minutes, Joan. You're in our world now, and we aren't so busy but what we can talk in minutes.
Yes, my dear. You will do everything as we do it now.
I like to do things your way, Mother dear.
I'm sure glad you're on our side, Joan. You're going to make a great little sidekick for me.
But I like you, Jerry. Why should I make a sidekick at you?
Oh, no. That's just my way of saying that you and I are going to get along all right.
Your conversation is confusing to me, Jerry, with your many exaggerated idiosyncrasies of expression.
Idios? Golly, Whiskers.
That is what I mean. Golly is what you call slang, is it not?
Oh, I guess it is.
Then what are the Whiskers for? I have learned that you use a great deal of slang because you're too lazy to speak correctly. But the Whiskers on the golly, there's no sense to that, Jerry.
Look, you win. I give up. Forget it.
Don't look so worried, Joan. Jerry was just having a little fun with you.
I thought I was, but I got a notion she's having some fun with me.
I'm afraid Joan hasn't had much experience in having fun, Jerry. Euclidia isn't a funny place.
No, Mother. Until you and Jerry and the captain came to this island, I had never heard anyone laugh as you do. These Euclideans only laugh when they're watching someone suffer or planning some terrible thing to do.
Now, dear, you're not going to worry any more about all this tonight, and you must get some sleep. Tex, you and Jerry say goodnight and go to your cabin. I want a few moments alone with Joan, and she's very tired, aren't you, dear?
Oh, no, Mother. I am not at all tired.
Oh, sure you are. Your eyes look like two fried holes in a blanket.
Fried holes? In a blanket? How can you fry...
Skip it. I'm sorry you started it. Good night, Joan. Good night, Mrs. Gregory.
Good night, Jerry.
Good night, Pat and Joan. Jerry will take turns with me on deck tonight, so don't worry. See you in the morning. Night.
Good night, Tex. Jerry.
Gee, Tex, they've got that funny yellow light all over the island again. You can hardly see.
That's what we're up against, kid. That weird yellow light all over this island is a pretty good example of how much we can see of what's ahead of us.
You're right, sir. We can't see a thing.